Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us once again here at Alternative Talk Radio. I'm Susie Pabor, and with me is my co-host, medium and intuitive, Adela Levine. We're bringing you this show this evening to help you connect with your loved ones who have transitioned through the veil onto the other side. And Adela will be a translator for you this evening so you can receive those messages and get confirmation that life still continues once we move on from our bodies. And that even though the physical connection is not the same, there is still a loving relationship we have with our loved ones. And we hope that these messages that come through will help all of us grow and as well help those on the other side because, as Adela puts it, once we cross, we may still have things to work through emotionally. We still have concerns for those who are still here and we still have lessons to learn once we cross over. I just want to let everyone know that these readings will be short, but it's to give you just a taste of what you'll experience in a private reading with Adela. It gets a little busy here at the studio when Adela's here with so many souls waiting to connect with people on the call line, but in a private one-on-one reading, she gets more in-depth, and the focus is very strong between you and your loved ones when you have her all to yourself, but this will give you a glimpse of what you can look forward to. And to contact Adela for a reading, her website is adelalevine.com, adelalavine.com, or you can follow the link on the alternativetalkradio.tv website, and you can also find out about her classes and her gallery reads there as well. Tonight, Adela will also be talking a little bit about the journey of our souls as we cross over and the process of that. So why don't we bring on Adela and we'll find out everything that's in store for us tonight.
As far as tonight, I wanted to talk about the process because I think last show I mentioned that I had somebody who was close to me or a very special client who became sort of a client slash friend of mine. She was one of the first people I ever did a reading for that I was probably considered officially professional because I kind of charged her a very little amount, but and she was very amazing spirit. She I didn't want to really tell people about what I did, and I met her roommate. And I said, don't tell anybody what I did. And then we walked into his apartment because I gave him a ride home. He was someone I worked with, and he told his roommate, and that was her. I won't say her name for her family's privacy. But and she pretty much told every single person. She was a very social butterfly, and she was so supportive and so thrilled and open, and I had done a reading for her, for someone close to her who had passed on, and she was the first person I experimented doing an intuitive reading, and I didn't even know what to call it. I just kind of said, I'm going to do this thing about you. I just kind of read about people who sometimes do that. I didn't read very many books on this stuff, but it was like one book that I had read, and it was just someone's story, and I thought I'd give it a go and see if it even worked, and that was my first intuitive reading, and she loved that part actually a lot, that she told all her friends, and her friends started calling me, and I said, who is this girl? Why does she know all these people? And she kind of felt me, she's one of those people who did that for people. She kind of bonded people together, set them on their path. She was very much kind of an ambassador of people and very social, and she was very young, and she had passed away a few days ago. I kind of thought that through her and me being me, this is probably the first time that since I've been doing this professionally that my professional life and my personal life has collided since my parents passed. I mean, my parents passed was different. I wasn't doing this professionally. It was just something I was doing and not knowing what I was doing by hearing them. And I've had people, I had a friend of mine whose boyfriend had a reading for me, and he then passed in the next year in a car accident, and that was kind of close to home, but it wasn't like I knew him that well. But it was strange because then she turned around and got a reading from me to talk to him. So that was new. And then another friend of mine had gotten a reading, bought a reading for his friend. And he, I knew this might be the case with him, but I couldn't tell him this and couldn't really, he didn't really want me to go there with him. He was very guarded. And I respected his privacy, but then he had taken his life the next year. And a lot of people weren't. So that was strange, too, because then I then turned around again and just talked to him immediately because my friend didn't know what happened to him, how he took his life, because he hadn't been able to reach his family. And then when he did go to his memorial service, found out that everything I had, he had told me was what had happened. So that was close to home, but I would say this is the first time someone I felt really close to, who would come to me pretty often, who I had visited on my off hours, has passed away, and she has been talking to me, and she's been helping me, and she wants me to help anybody she has telling me to help understand why she left this world. And I guess what I wanted to cover was a couple things. Why do people choose, maybe like in her case, she was sick for a while, and then she was on life support for a while, and why is it that maybe some people choose to leave this place rather than come back, but mostly about what people are usually curious about the process. What happens after you pass? Most mediums say, okay, I'm going to do this reading for you because I want to let you know the person's at peace and they're okay. And that's usually what I've noticed most mediums tell people. And what I tell people is it's not always the case. It doesn't mean you have to worry about them, that they're miserable, but they're adjusting. And when you cross over, it's kind of like going to a new land, you know, a new, not even a new country. It's like a whole new land. And in this new land, you don't, you're not even the same. So it's like being reborn. So it's like being a child all over again, where they have to learn a new way, how to be. And except for like a child, unlike a child, they have a memory and awareness of their life here. So, of course, they're still attached to people and things. It doesn't mean you're holding them back. It just means that they care just as much about you as you do about them. And so I feel like it's a little more comforting to people to know, let's say somebody who did take their life, that they're not just off kind of skipping through the lily fields, just like, oh, I don't remember about you because I'm just over here, that they are feeling you, they are aware of you, and the process of that, and that if somebody who you're really close to and you love so dearly has left this world, you probably would like to know if they are thinking of you. And I know people are very worried about, well, I don't want them to be miserable. I want them to be happy. That's a question people ask a lot. And I always say it's not that they're unhappy, but they're adjusting. It's not like when you pass on, you become all-knowing, omnipresent, like God-like. You don't get all the answers beamed into you all at once. You have to grow and learn and come to an understanding. So I guess through the course of tonight, we'll touch on kind of the journey, maybe start with what happens when in the moment, like different scenarios of what it feels like when someone is actually leaving the body, and then what it's like to go right in front of the veil, and then what it's like after they cross the veil, and then how does things progress after that, and we can cover that tonight.
Oh, wow.
So to start, maybe let's just talk about, before we get started in readings, about what it's like before, how someone leaves the body. How people leave the body is different depending on the scenario, and I think people need to have comfort in knowing that when the person actually leaves the body, they are spared pain. So in other words, if you see somebody who was in an accident and you're worried, were they suffering, or somebody who was, life was taken from them, were they suffering, they might be aware and feel pain, but there is some kind of beauty to science along with the spiritual realm working together. So in other words, you know, people know in science there's only so much your body will take pain before you pass out and your body, like, relieves you of that pain.
Right.
And the spiritual world kind of takes it a step further and says, well, let your spirit kind of detach from your body so that you're not feeling everything that's going on. So when people are actually in the process of passing, they tend to tell me they might feel like a feeling of feeling like they're choking or out of breath or something scary, but soon as that last kind of gulp, they kind of let go and they don't suffer. Even if their body's reacting, they're not suffering.
Not in it.
Right.
Yeah.
So people can take, realize that it's a process, your body, and sometimes people are thrown out of their body. Like if it's an accident, they're kind of like, it hits them. They do see it coming, actually. They always tell me time kind of slows down, kind of like how the movies depict when there's a car accident going. It seems like milliseconds, but time slows way down. And they see everything, and they see it coming, but they're not kind of in, they're kind of so in the moment that they're so present in the moment that they're not sitting outside themselves going, oh, look what's happening to me. They're kind of more in that moment, so time goes real slow. And then it kind of ends quick, and they kind of shoot out of their body. And then they kind of have a moment to just like, whoa, what just happened? Where am I? And that's where the spiritual realm, like family members and guides and angels come in and help them and go, okay, we know you're a little bit in shock, so we need to help you through this. Now, the difference between, that's important for people to know, between spirits and ghosts. Spirits hate being called ghosts, because ghosts are empty spirits. So in other words, ghosts are spirits that don't attach to their soul. We have a spirit and we have a soul. So our spirit is that, what we say to each other, oh, you're high spirited, aren't you? Or your spirit is really sassy, or your spirits are kind of low. It's the energy that kind of fuels us. It's the electrical currents. Then the soul is kind of our bread and butter, you know, who we are, the core of who we are, kind of our thumbprints. This is how we tick. This is how we do things, you know. So imagine the spirit is the electrical currents and the soul is kind of the makeup of who we are. So if you're somebody who has to think a lot about everything and you have to do this, and this is like, this is how I've been ever since I could remember. My mom told me I was this way. That's your soul. So if the spirit and the soul split and they don't find each other, then it becomes like a ghost. So in other words, it's the soul just keeps repeating, like getting stuck in time. And that's when people see ghosts, like where someone's going, I want that, I want that. And they're like, this person appeared in the house and they just looked at me and said, I want that. They don't see you. They don't even think you're anything. They're just repeating the last thing they said. So
how do people get separated from that?
Usually trauma, like a traumatic thing.
Are they able to recoup?
They do recoup, and that's kind of what people like me, mediums and any religious type people or any healers can help. If they truly are gifted and really have the sight and the understanding to kind of help merge the spirit and the soul together, you could even help if you feel like one of your loved ones is like, I feel like they're unsettled and they're kind of, I just feel it in my gut. But I always call in Saint Michael. Michael is known in all religions. So in the Catholic religion, he's called Saint Michael, but he is depicted in many religions with different names, which is basically like an archangel, a high being who kind of helps guard the souls and helps them cross through the veil. So when you have something that lost, I call him in and go, hey, you might want to help them find their way.
Right.
Because with me, they'll just keep repeating the same thing. Where is my mom? Where is my mom? Where is my mom? And I'm like, okay, you don't realize you're dead. I need to call in St. Michael to help merge you back to your electrical energy, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So it's kind of like breathing back life into the soul.
I see.
So the soul is, the ghost is literally what you think of it. It is empty. There's no energy running through it. It just is like, it's kind of like a glitch. It's kind of like if you were watching a movie, or you know how record players would just keep skipping and saying the same thing and saying the same thing and saying the same thing, or there's like a glitch in time. And so they'll just keep repeating. So that's why spirits are like, I'm not a ghost. Don't call me a ghost. I'm a spirit. I'm your mother. I'm trying to talk to you. I'm not a ghost. Like a ghost is like something that's empty.
Well, is a ghost something that was a person at one time?
Yes, it was a person, but their soul is kind of operating alone without the spirit. So in other words, it's just an empty, it's kind of like an emptied out person, imagine.
Right. So say it happened to myself and mm-hmm. something traumatic happened. It usually happens like that, right?
Sometimes it's something traumatic. Or let's say there wasn't. That's why there's a lot of religions that believe in when someone passes. That's why we have rituals in a lot of religions, like in Catholic religion or the Christian religion. Believe it or not, everybody thinks they're not doing something like that, but they are. Is to help the spirit find its way. If you ever look at people do things like, well, let's light candles and put it into the water to help the spirit go
sure.
home, or people pray and say, I'm praying that your soul finds its way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people do things all the time without probably realizing where it comes from.
Sure.
And so let's say this soul maybe didn't have anybody do that for them, and they were kind of killed and no one knew it, and they're no one knows where they are, and so their soul's just kind of trapped. Maybe they were angry right when they died about this, and they don't want to leave. So that's kind of what we call lost souls. So lost souls are kind of the ones that are just kind of like, where am I? I don't know what happened. So they can become ghosts. There's different
forever?
Ones.
Or
no, they can find their way. Usually it comes with people's help sometimes, or sometimes I do a lot of work with lost souls, and then sometimes it comes with, like, say your loved ones. Maybe you go and you do a genealogy search and you go, oh, my grandfather died and he was killed, and hey, grandpa, I realized you were killed, you can move on. Maybe you start talking and you start helping his soul cross over. But it's kind of like, I don't ever try to claim I have all the answers. B, it's very uniquely different. There are some ghosts and what I would call aware ghosts that know that they're dead and don't want to leave this plane, and those are called lower entities, so lower vibration entities. So in other words, they're not trying to evolve past this plane. So they're like, oh, you guys all want to come to the haunted, you know, house that is on the hill? And you think it's funny to look at us and mess with us? Well, we think it's funny to mess with you. So the more you keep talking to us and getting scared of us, the more we'll mess with you. Because guess what? We're kind of pissed off we're dead, so we're having a good time.
Oh, so it's the lower vibration people,
yeah,
basically,
right,
you're talking about?
Yeah, and so people, not all the time are they even attached to that house. They might find their way to that house because mm-hmm. they're like, hey, guess what, everybody? Everyone goes to that house because they're scared of us. Ha, 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 let's go mess with them.
So it's basically just like some people that are not very happy.
Yeah,
they,
not people, just like here.
They don't work it.
Just like here. People here who are totally unhappy in life, what do? They mess with you.
Right.
Or like I always say, I don't go down and deal with like the mafia on purpose. Like in other words, I don't go to ghost hunting or something like that because
right.
it's like that's like going down to a bad place in town and going, what do you guys want to do? You want to come out? Let us know you're here.
Sure. People
are gonna, and I kind of go, yeah, well, you'll find out. So that is why sometimes, if you ever notice on all these ghost shows and stuff, they don't ever really find anything. They won't allow themselves to be recorded or anything like that because they're like, no, we're not going to just be clowns for your amusement. We'll mess with you, but we're not going to like let you capture us on film or something.
I see. So that's for people who are still needing to work on their involvement. And
yeah.
What about people who...
They're choosing not to work on their involvement. They're having a good... It's kind of like they're little pranksters.
Okay.
Yeah, little bad boys and girls
okay.
who find it really funny to kind of poke you and watch you run and jump and think that's hilarious. It's like the kid in school.
They call them, is that
like
what they
bullies.
Call poltergeists or something?
Yeah, yeah, and poltergeists can get out of control because you're feeding it more if you're kind of going, oh my God, there's a thing in this house, and the more fear you get and the more you're kind of, you know, being afraid of it, the more you feed it. But when you make a demand, get out.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have to demand it. You don't say, can you please leave? We don't like it. And if you think it's grandma and you're going, grandma, please leave, and they're laughing like, you know, they think we're grandma, so they just, your energy is keeping them there.
And like you said, if it was grandma or somebody that's near,
they're
and
not
dear
gonna
to them,
harass you, no.
They're not gonna try to scare you.
They're the opposite. I've had people say like, oh, I saw my grandma appear and then I freaked out and then she never came back. I go, yeah, because grandma doesn't want to see you freak out. She felt
right.
really bad. So she's like, I just wanted to appear to you, but I didn't know you were going to get so scared, so sorry.
Right.
I don't want to do that to you again. So you have to say, grandma, it's okay. I liked it. Can you do that again? And then she'll be like, are you sure? Because I didn't know. You got a little weirded out. And so,
right.
yeah, their family is... totally like just wanting their goal is to let you know they're there. They want to help you. They want to talk to you. People who are playing, that's why in my readings, even in on the radio, short as they are, I do confirmations because I want to make sure nothing's trying to trick me to pretend it's your grandmother, because those are called tricksters.
Trickster.
And tricksters are kind of come in and try to pretend that they're something that they're not. So when people don't know what they're doing and they want to play with this idea of talking to those who've passed on, and I've had people come to me and say, well, I had a friend that told me my brother said he's pissed at me and this and that, and I'll check in and the brother's like, never, that was not me, and I'll say, no, that wasn't him. That's because they had some friend who thinks they have this ability, and maybe they have it a little bit, but they don't hone it, and they don't use protection.
Just like people get tricked with the Ouija boards and so forth,
that happens
right?
a lot with Ouija boards,
yeah.
yeah, because they don't protect the Ouija board, they don't put protection on it, they don't guard it,
yeah.
they don't check to see who is talking to them to make sure it's the right person, yeah.
Yeah, so there's nothing wrong with talking to your loved ones, but don't go into unexplored territory where
nothing's wrong with talking with your loved ones, period.
No.
As long
Beautiful.
As you say, I'm calling in protection, I only want to talk to this person and this person, everyone else I'm sorry, but you're going to have to kind of like back off, I'm sorry, my neighbor from 10 years ago, I really don't kind of want to talk to you. And you just make it clear who you want to talk to, and you put protection around. But people really do need to understand, because I feel like people get this idea of ghosts being what spirits are, and ghosts are empty spirits, and there's different reasons why they are ghosts. Sometimes they're lost, and they're innocent, and they really don't know. I did that a few times for people, and sometimes, most of the times they're lost. And then sometimes they're very much aware of what they are, and they just, like, want to mess with people. But they're usually doing it in an area that's allowing them. So, in other words, people go to those haunted, quote, haunted places, and they purposely keep doing tours and all this. So they just keep they keep feeding the energy. It's okay.
Sure.
So they keep showing up. But in your own home, you're going to be like, oh, no, I'm just talking to my grandpa or my mom, and I'm in the light, and it's all good, and so you're not going to have any problems with that.
Right. So just calling in the white light and protection and your intentions of uninvited
the bottom
people
line,
are
yeah.
uninvited.
Yeah, the bottom
yeah.
line is people need to not be so afraid. What makes people afraid is just what makes people afraid of anything. It's the unknown.
The unknown.
Not being familiar.
Yeah.
And the other side looks at it like, we've evolved past this place. We totally get now that there's two realms. And sometimes they might forget, and they might do something like touch you or try to kiss you and realize they scare you because they forget. And they're like, oh, no, it's so aware to me. It's so normal, but we forget you guys freak out so easily over nothing.
Right.
Not to them, they're just as alive as you are. They just don't have a physical body.
Right. I know. I love my grandma dearly, and I can't believe I still think, please don't show yourself in the dark. And it's my grandma. So
no, it's okay.
Yeah.
When I first started this, I had rules. I said, don't touch me. I don't want to be touched.
Right.
So I was very strict about not getting poked. A lot of times
you
they
set
like
the rules.
Poke. You set the rules. And then I said, I'm getting relaxed in the touching department. You guys can do that. You can poke me. But if it gets too much, I'm like, all right, you guys annoying me. You guys stop doing that. So, yeah, you set the rules.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, that's really, really helps a lot.
As far as tonight's reading. Oh, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, we bring that sort of thing up because there's a lot of people who are scared and of the unknown and don't really understand this process. And from what I've seen and witnessed from your readings on the air at the galleries and, you know, the reading that I had myself, it's all out of love, and it's all to bring connections together about people
mm-hmm.
that we miss dearly, and to see that life goes on, and it's a really beautiful thing. And so it's just a matter of learning how to, just like you say, you wouldn't go into a neighborhood that you know is dangerous. That's you know. And
I don't feel like most people are trying to do that. And I also feel like most people I have found are not as afraid as the media likes to make it seem.
Yeah.
I actually feel people know the difference between when they feel their parents or someone they love come to them and something else. So people know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like people are getting much more aware than they ever used to be. But as far as tonight goes, what we're going to do is medium readings, but I would like to really emphasize that, like I say in all my readings, if you're just getting a medium reading out of curiosity, if you're going to get a reading on someone you don't remember anything about, it really doesn't help you, it doesn't help them, and it doesn't help me, because not that I need the information from you, but if I'm telling you something and you go, I have no idea, if you can't confirm it, then I can't know if I'm getting something that's making sense to you. Then that goes to what we just talked about. Then I don't know if this is someone really you're looking to talk to. That is why we get confirmations. I don't get them to try to feed information from you. I get the information, and you just kind of go, yeah, that's true, or no, that's not true. If you say, I don't know, then I don't trust talking to whoever I'm talking to, because I don't know if this is a trickster or someone just trying to pretend that they... So if you say you don't know much about them, then I'm going to have to move to the next person, because this is for people... the whole point of me doing medium readings is for people who have lost someone dear to them and they really need to talk to them. So we want to save these readings for that, because these are radio readings. They're very quick. I don't do them a lot. This is kind of something I want to do for people, but we really want to help people. If you feel like you got on here and you're like, oops, I thought this was an intuitive thing, then let me know. Just be honest, and I'll do it for you.
Okay.
I will. But I can sense if someone's getting a medium reading and hoping I'll dip in a little intuitive pull. And if I sense it from you tonight, I'm going to kind of call you on it.
And for those new to the show, if you could just explain the difference in your readings, because you do both the intuitive readings and medium readings
mm-hmm.
when you're not on the radio here. And
the medium readings are very clear, speaking to those who have passed on, period. So anybody who's passed on in your life, but it needs to be somebody close to you in your life, not somebody that you've heard of or read about in your family that you don't know much about.
That you can't give confirmation.
Right.
Right.
And intuitive reading is about things that are about you. So specifically to you only, things that are going on in your life. And if you got on the air and you're like, oops, I thought this was an intuitive thing because I do have, we have that, I do both, then just be honest and tell me that. And we'll do a short intuitive thing, but we're really kind of trying to focus the show on medium readings. But I have noticed, I can kind of sense lately when people are getting on and I can sense they might want an intuitive, and I'll just call you on it. Like I've done,
okay.
I can sense, you know, obviously it's me, so I'm going to sense it.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah,
okay.
We just want to be fair to everybody.
Okay, all right then. So we're going to turn to our callers then. And
one last thing, sorry.
Oh,
Susie,
sure.
I keep interrupting tonight.
Sure.
I just wanted to remember to say, because these are short medium readings, and normally I don't ask you who you're looking to talk to when I do a regular medium reading, but because if you really have someone you want to talk to, and I want to make sure I just dive right in and try to get that person, and sometimes someone else jumps in and interferes, then just go ahead and let me know. I want to speak to you and tell me who you're looking to speak to. Not their name, but like the relative, like my mother, my grandmother, my mother's side, something like that.
Okay. Very good. Okay. We are going to go to our caller here at the 720 area code. Just a moment, please.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Hi. I'm fine. This is Jane in Colorado.
Okay. Hi, Jane.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Who are you, what were you looking for tonight?
You know, a medium reading is fine. That's fine with me.
Is that what you were looking for, or were you looking for an intuitive reading?
Well, I had a little situation in my life, but if maybe my past of a relative or two could help me with that, you never know.
It's okay. Just why don't you just tell me the situation, because for the medium reading, they're going to like go through who they are and this or that, and by the time we do all that, it will be hard to cover what it is you're looking for. So what's the situation?
It's just a breakup of a 5-year relationship that I don't even know if we broke up. It's a long distance situation, and
Are you sure I didn't read you earlier? No, I'm teasing. I just had someone
exactly
earlier.
You read for me about 2 months ago, but not about this.
Oh, okay. I had someone earlier today, very similar situation. That's actually, I think, my last reading today I had. That was funny. Okay, let's see what's going on with him. So you think that you kind of broke up, but you're not sure, right?
Yeah, it's very unsure, okay. Yeah.
So it's been a while since you talked to him?
Only really a couple of days, but he just has gotten, over the last
weirder.
Few weeks, he's just been sort of, yeah, really kind of not like himself.
My feeling is about him, for some reason when I see him, I feel like he's, there's two things. One, he kind of is prone to a little bit of depression, of like he goes up and down into these mood swings. And I feel like when he gets into these mood swings, he's completely just kind of almost like he tunes out the world. So I feel like he doesn't mean to. He's not meaning to be the way he is. It's just the way he is. It's just the way he's built. As far as him with you, I feel like that, he won't tell you, but to be honest, I feel like part of his depression is that the relationship feels really difficult because of the long distance. So in other words, he can't relax into it. Like he can't relax into the idea that you guys are together. It makes him very uncomfortable and scared. And one thing I want women out there to realize is that men's hearts are just as fragile, if not actually more fragile than women's, and they tend to guard them pretty tight. So I feel like when he gets depressed, he pulls inward, and he's kind of like, well, whatever, it's not like you can be here anyway, so what can you do about it? So my feeling is, what can you guys do to be together in the same place? Is this just like an impossible situation?
No, it's absolutely not impossible. It's I think he's having problems he's got two jobs, but I believe he's having a real hard time on one of his day job. And I don't think he likes it there. And I've offered, I said, well, just come here and we'll figure something out, you know. And I don't know if he just doesn't want to let go of where he's living or because of past problems.
No, it's just his pride. It's just his pride. I feel like he'd be really scared, like, if he moved there with you, that, like, what am I going to do? Like, how am I going to make a living? So my feeling is, if you want to pull him more that direction, you need to say more. Instead of, like, being the rescuer, because you don't want to turn into mom, you say more to him, look, let's make a plan for you to figure out what you can do to make a living here. Like, what? How could we find for work for you here? Like, I feel like you kind of approach it more in his masculine energy, because if you approach it in the, you're being too masculine energy when you're like, well, just come on down and I'll take care of you, little lady. That's how he's hearing it. Because I feel like he's got a masculine, a pretty strong masculine side. Does he do something like with his hands? Physical?
Yeah, he actually is a person who builds and repairs wood instruments like guitars and violins and
awesome.
Things.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, well,
and so
listen,
he can have that anywhere. Really.
Yeah, he can do it anywhere. So I feel like what you say to him is, look, you can have the same thing here. What if we just try it on for size? You can even come here for like a week and let's like figure out how you could build work here. If you start talking to him about how to build work there, he'll be way more open. But when you just talk to him about, oh, come here and let's just like get you living here because you need to like get some help because things are working out for you, yeah, he's going to definitely tend to feel apprehensive. And I feel like you can reach him better that way and just kind of ignore his moodiness. Like, in other words, you got to push him. Like, just act like, whatever, I know you're moody, but you need to talk to me. He responds to that. He's just that type of guy that he's a little rough around the edges, and you got to kind of tease him about it. You're being too careful. Like, you got to be like,
well,
listen, I know you're in a mood, but you know, what'd you say?
I said he's British and they're very quiet people. They don't like you to know about.
Yeah, so you got to tease him about it. That's the best way you deal with men like that. You go, come on, get out of your, come on, open up. And if you tease him about it and you kind of act like, you know, it's silly and you don't care anyway, because I feel like he's attracted to a little bit of fire. So if you just, because you have more fire than he does, so up your fire a little bit without scorching him.
If
that makes
sense.
Oh, great one. Absolutely.
Okay.
Let me write that down.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll work out much better. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I'll be in touch and I'll let you guys know how it goes. We'll see what happens here.
Great. Thanks so much for sharing. Oh, that's great. You know, and that is an intuitive reading.
That is an intuitive reading. And it's fine if people want that. Just say it because I'm going to sense it anyway.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful thing because it shows how you can guide people after you tune in to the different energies that they're involved with. It's just amazing.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that I love doing meeting readings, and I know how much that's needed. But we're in a very volatile world right now, and people are really having a difficult time. So I understand if people are feeling like they just need some guidance.
Yeah.
The world is just a little crazy and out of control. And I feel like, you know, it's fine, you know, if people just let me know. And, you know, what's the best thing people want in the world when we have a crazy world, which is love?
Love.
I know.
And some security. That was the other one.
Love and security. And one of my specialties, I have to admit, on air, despite Susie is going to know I'm going to say, is that I am really good at understanding the man and woman thing.
Yes.
Weirdly enough, I kind of am good at jumping into men's psyche or skin to kind of understand them. I don't feel like it's because I'm such a man expert as much as it's just my ability to jump into people's skin.
Yeah.
So to be totally non-biased, as most of the time women tend to be very biased when they're giving advice to their girlfriends. Like, well, he's a jerk, just dump him. Or like, you know, But if you but if you have someone like me who's going to go, look, I'm not going to tell you that you're crazy to be with this guy. I'm just going to listen sincerely, see what's going on with him so that you can understand him, because this is a problem with men and women. And the other thing is women just don't seem to realize men have just as fragile hearts as women do. And they tend to, I kind of have this message I want to give to women that the media is lying to you to make men these cold, callous people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying there aren't those out there, but there's just like as much as women that way as there are men. So I feel like if women could start seeing men in a little more human way rather than just like cold way, maybe we can like stop being so divided.
Right. That's because they're brought up to not show things on the outside a lot.
Yeah,
that was beautiful. Okay, then. All right. Well, how about we take another caller here? We've got next one down local here, so just a moment, please, and we'll bring you on the air. 818.
Hi, 818.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Are you there? Hi.
Hello?
What's your name? Yep, you're here. Turn down your radio thingy.
Oh, it's Maria. Hi.
This is Maria?
Yes.
Do I know you?
You
say it like I know you.
No. I didn't know it was me, to be honest. I didn't know you were getting my call. It kind of shocked me.
Oh, it shocked you. Okay, awesome.
Yeah, sorry.
It's you. You're
I'm
on.
Here.
Okay, so your name's Maria, you said?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and what did you want tonight?
I would love to speak to my father.
Your father? Okay. All right. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to do confirmations, you know. I don't know if you remember, but I just I need to make sure it's him. So I'm going to have him explain things that are detailed between you and him. So usually I like to start with how he passed and then work our way. And this is just to confirm with him, okay? To make sure someone else didn't jump in. Okay, let's see who's here. I see a man coming in. He seems pretty excited. Let me get him to calm down. Because he's like kind of talking really fast. The person that I see, though, when I see him, he looks kind of relatively young to me to have passed. Your voice sounds kind of young, so I don't know if it's that or if he's just trying to show me a young version of himself. But what he's saying to me is that he felt like he was relatively young to have passed, like he could have had a little longer. And then when he talks about his passing, hold on. He wants to know, do you agree with that?
No, he wasn't young, really, too young. I mean,
how old?
He was 70. My father was 70 when he passed.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's not young, but I guess he's saying he's relatively young. I guess relatively young is his perception. It's not like 90, I kind of agree. That's not like young. I guess he's saying he felt like he should have more time. The funny thing is I don't see him 70, so that's why I said I don't know if he's like trying to show me a young version of himself, because sometimes they like to do that, or if that's just like his perception. I kind of feel like he's definitely not showing me 70, so I feel like he's showing me a younger version of himself. When he talks about his passing, he's saying something about, hold on. I just want to slow him down because he seems excited. When he talks about his passing, he's not showing it to me like this is the two ways to show it to me. Either they show it to me like it was really long, drawn out, and then it goes quick, or it's like he's here and he's gone. And he's saying that he saw it coming, so he wasn't like in shock. But he is saying that he is giving me a feeling of like lights going out, in other words. But he doesn't look like he's surprised by it. Like he says he saw it coming. And then when he talks about his passing, he keeps kind of going around. Hold on. He keeps kind of going around. He's repeated it a few times, so I guess I just have to say it, around his chest area. And he keeps saying to me that he was not freaked out about when he finally passed. He said that he was actually surprisingly okay with it. Would that be a surprise to you? Why is he saying it's surprisingly okay?
No, because that was like a question I wanted to know. Like, did he know? Because we didn't know if he knew it was happening to him. We didn't, you know, so we didn't know.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah.
Yeah, that's probably
you're all there. Yeah.
That's probably why he's jumping to it first, because they're more aware than you think. When they're in those last moments, they're kind of not in their body, so it's almost like having an out-of-body experience almost, like their spirit's watching everything, they're aware of everything, but he's not feeling all the pain, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
He was much more aware, so if he was like in a coma or something, or he was out of it to you, he was aware. But that might explain why it's like lights are out. It's almost like he's here and then boom. Did you guys have to make a decision or something to take him off the machine?
No, he had cancer, so he was he was on hospice at home because there was nothing else he could do, you know.
Oh, okay.
So
we
didn't know if he was in pain or he couldn't communicate at the end, so we didn't know if he was in pain.
Yeah, okay, right. No, he's not in pain. That's why he said, I saw it coming. I knew it was coming. He's like, but I guess that's why the first thing he said is surprisingly he was okay with it. You know what I mean? That maybe, because what he gave me the feeling is you'd be surprised to know that. So he was fine. It wasn't like he was happy, joy about it. You know, it wasn't like, yeah, everything's smooth, but it wasn't as bad as you guys were picturing. Because you're watching the body, you know what I mean? And it's not pleasant to watch. But he's saying, you know, once it happened, it was just kind of like he was kind of floating around, and it's just like done. And he was just glad it was done. So he didn't suffer, because it's almost like he started stepping away from his body during that process. So the spirit starts detaching, especially in hospice situations. So it's not like he's suffering through it. So that, I guess, is why he went to that first thing, before he would even, like, he just, why does he keep pointing to his chest area, though? Like, he keeps feeling pain in that area. The cancer wasn't there.
It was liver. But it's spread, like to lungs and stuff, so maybe, I don't know.
No, it feels like it's more about the breathing. It's almost like when you have pneumonia, like your lungs start to fill with water. More about breathing.
He was breathing really weird at the end, and his lungs filled, yes.
That's the only thing that he didn't like. That was that was the worst discomfort he had. But he said at some point when the breathing got so bad, it's like he says it's kind of miraculous. It's like his spirit just kind of detached from the body. It's almost like you get in so much discomfort, you go to like a euphoric high. He says that's the best way he can explain it. And you kind of just go past the pain and you go out of your body, and then you just kind of stay there. So he was aware of everything you guys were saying. He was aware of your worry and all that, and he just couldn't get, you know, he couldn't let you know. But he wants you to get this image of him suffering out of your head. Because that's a hard thing. I've gone through that on a personal level, and it's hard when you're watching the body. That's all you're thinking about. All you're thinking about is, are they suffering? Are they suffering? And you're watching it, and it looks pretty terrible. But I've heard this from so many spirits that when they're detaching at that point, they get kind of a break, they get relief. So he's almost like he's suffering a little bit from the breathing, or just kind of really discomfort, and he doesn't understand why he can't breathe right, and his lungs are filling up. And he goes, right when it got bad, he just kind of popped out. And he's saying he's excited. The reason why he did get excited is because he wanted to tell you that. That was one of the things he wanted to relieve your mind of. And he also says that you did a lot for him, and he appreciates it. I mean, that's kind of a common thing, but he's making it seem more specific. Were you the one to, because what he's saying is like it wasn't just what you did for him when he was sick. It's almost like were you the one to kind of keep the level head through the whole thing or something? Because he's saying you're very strong and he was proud of you, even though you couldn't know it.
I mean, I don't know. I didn't feel like I did, but, you know, I felt like,
yeah,
I,
well,
felt like I was obsessed. Maybe he didn't
see
that, so.
Yeah. Well, that's you.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, you were upset and you were sad, but that's normal.
Yeah.
But he's talking about you kind of helping make sure things got taken care of and you kind of, like, help keep the line. Like, he's feeling proud of your strengths. So I don't know if you're the one that kind of helped that along, but it's something about you being strong. Did he talk to you anything before he got to this point about how he felt and things like that? Was he able to talk to you about his illness?
Well, when we found out that he was only given a couple months to live, we decided as a family not to tell him because we didn't want him to give up his fight. So that's why I was always wondering if he knew deep down what was going on, you know? And you said he did, so I don't know.
Oh, I see. Okay. And so when it got so bad, he still didn't know till the end?
Well, that's...
I don't know.
That doesn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel right?
No, I feel like he knew. Actually, from what he's showing me, I feel like he knew all along. I feel like he knew. I mean, he's kind of laughing, kind of saying, it's my body, I know. I know what's going on with my body.
Because he acted like he didn't know, but like I always wondered.
He's playing dumb. He said, I went along. He goes, it's my body, for God's sake. He's like, it's my body.
Yeah.
I knew.
Yeah.
He goes, children are funny. They think that their parents... when they get older, like children or something, he's like, I knew myself. Yep. He's also saying that's kind of something he would do anyway. He was not interested in becoming like a sickly person, if that makes sense. Like he wasn't interested in being that way. That's probably what you guys knew about him. And he wasn't interested in sitting at a hospital, getting poked and all that stuff. He wouldn't have done it. So he played along. Because that's the way he would have handled it anyway. So in his mind, he got what he wanted. He thinks it's funny. You guys thought you tricked him, but he's kind of maybe the one who tricked you guys. Yeah, that's
okay.
He's kind of funny because he's very blunt in how he's talking to me and kind of just trying to get to the point. But the other part of him also is at the same time he's trying to be comforting and letting you know that he didn't suffer like you thought. But yeah, he knew. He's like I'm a grown man. I know what's going on with myself. You know what I mean? I guess that's one thing he wants you to know as well.
Okay. And I guess I just wanted to know if he's okay and happy and I mean, you know, that kind of stuff. But
the thing is that it's an adjustment, so it's not like, you know, he's basically saying it's different and it's new. He's saying it's not exactly what he expected, and, you know, he's saying he's learning, you know, just kind of like what's this whole new world's about, and his words are kind of more like, you know, I didn't die and go to heaven like people think, like where everything's perfect. He says, you know, I passed and I got relieved of all the crappy stuff, you know, all the hard stuff. But he still, it's not like people think. People always want to make it seem like they just become all-knowing and everything's perfect. He's kind of adjusting to this new way of being. It's not, he says, I didn't sit around thinking about death all the time. So this is just kind of new to him. He's excited to talk to you, and he's excited for you to know he's around, and that's important to him. That makes him happy, for him to know that you know he's around, and that if you would talk to him more, that would make him feel good. Yeah.
Okay, Maria.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing so much. Oh, that's the adjustment period that you were talking about.
Yeah.
That we go through, kind of getting a feel for everything, and then what happens when somebody that is still connected to us, that emotional connection, if we start thinking about them, if we talk to them, do they hear us?
Yeah, it's kind of like if you're invisible and if someone was like, wow, I wonder what's going on with Susie, and you're like, I'm right here, and you're like, well, if I just knew where she was, it'd be so great. If I just could talk to her, and you're like, I'm right here, and your energy's kind of low on it, and you're just like, okay, I'm sitting them. They're hearing, talking about they wish and they feel bad for me and they wish they could talk to me, and you're like, I keep trying to tell them I'm here, but nobody's talking to me.
So keep talking.
So when you're kind of like, oh, you know, well, I'm here, and their energy gets low, but then if someone said, hey, Susie, I feel you're here, you perk up. And go, yeah, you feel me? Yeah, you feel I'm here? That's why her father was hard to hear, because he was flipping out because he was like so excited that finally he was going to be able to make contact.
Yeah.
So then they go like, as soon as you talk to them, like, you hear me? You know I'm here? Oh my God. Okay, let me try to get you to feel me more. And then they do something, and if you go, oh, I felt that. I felt you. I could feel you on my side. Oh, I felt your energy. And then they just keep doing
the
more
acknowledgement.
And you keep feeding it, and it gets stronger and it gets stronger.
Oh.
But so the connection. I remember the first time, one of the first times that when I started to see my mom who raised me, it was my aunt who raised me, but she was like my mother, passed. I remember it was on Christmas Eve, and I was walking by, and she was sitting in a small little room crying, and I said, what's the matter? And she goes, nobody talks about, because my family wouldn't talk about anybody, talk about her. And she said, nobody talks about me. Nobody talks to me.
Wow.
And I said, well, I'm talking to you. And she said, well, you're the only one. No one else talks to me. No one else hears me.
Wow.
And it makes me sad. And I went, okay. So I woke up and I tell my whole family, which was obviously a great reception. Not, like, nobody seemed to, they're looking at me like the weirdo, you know. And they're like all freeze. And I said, Mama wants us to talk about her. I talked to her last night and blah, blah, blah. And here I am going on about it. And I said, she said that no one talks to her and she's really sad. And so that was kind of my first lesson of like, wow, that's what they want. They just want you to talk to them.
Sure.
So when you talk to them, they feel your energy. And you don't have to talk them out loud. You can be just telepathic. You can say it in your mind. It's just acknowledging them. Even if you're not quite sure if you believe it, even if you're like, I don't know if you're here, but if you are, just start there.
Open up the dialogue and the connection gets stronger, huh?
You'll start to feel them more.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, that's great. Okay. All right. Well, we've got somebody on the 719 area code now, so let's go ahead and bring you on.
Hi.
Hello. What's your name?
Thank you for taking my call. It's Julia.
Yeah, sure. Julia, you said? Did I hear you right, Julia?
Yeah, Julia. Yeah.
Okay. And what were you looking for tonight?
Would it be okay if we just do intuitive this time?
Sure. What were you wanting to know about?
Okay. A relationship. I've been married for a really long time, and I'm feeling like it's coming to an end, but I keep vacillating back and forth, back and forth. I guess.
Okay.
I just want to make sure I'm going to come out of it okay, and all that good stuff.
Of course, yeah. All right, let me describe him so I can make sure I'm tapping into the right person, and then I'll go into between the two of you. My first sense when I see about what's mostly wrong in this situation for you is that I kind of feel like he's like just kind of almost absent, like ignoring you. Like the energy just feels very cut off from him. So I feel like it doesn't feel very kind. And I feel like you've put up with a lot for a long time. So I don't even know if it set into you yet how much you've gotten used to this kind of way of being with somebody, if that makes sense to you. Like,
yeah, I agree with you. Yes.
Like you've just put up with a lot for a long time and you've lost a lot of yourself through this process. So I feel like what's happening is like you're waking up kind of from this long coma almost that you've allowed yourself to do just because you've had to kind of deal with the situation. And the more you wake up and the more you start to be aware that this is just a very hurtful situation, the more you're going to be able to pull away from it very easily. Are you going to be okay? You're going to be more than okay. Is it going to be easy? My feeling is, as weird as he's been ignoring, you know, in the sense of just kind of acting like he doesn't care, he is going to kind of put up a fight. But I feel like it's out of pride or something, like almost like ownership. Like, no, this is what we've been doing and this is what you have to do. But I feel like if you stand your ground in the situation, you'll win through it. I feel like he'll try to not give you certain things that are rightfully yours on a financial or material level, but that won't work either. It's just kind of more like I almost feel like he'd be shocked. Like, really, you think you're going to do this to me? Like, type of thing. And you will. Because I just feel like your energy is starting, or your spirit is just starting to rise up and realize that this isn't something you have to deal with anymore. Like, it's just done. It's cooked, you know. And he is really more than put his negative energy into your space for as long as you can handle it. So, yeah, my sense as far as you going back and forth is just solely because it's something that's been in your life for so long, you've gotten used to it. How do you leave something that's become such a familiar thing? You know what I mean? So I think it's only familiarity. But remember when you're talking to him or when you're thinking about it, just keep remembering the truth of how he really acts towards you and how he really treats you, and not try to think of all the little time, the little glimmers of times that were okay. Because I think that's what you do. You go, well, it's not so bad because, or it's okay because yesterday he was halfway decent to me. That's not enough. That's you rationalizing. So every time you give yourself a list of why it's okay, just know that's you rationalizing, and catch yourself. And it will give you more strength to see the truth about him and your situation. My other feeling is that when you do leave him, you'll leave him. I don't see you staying where you live and he leaves. For some reason, I feel like it's going to feel better for you to actually leave.
Yeah,
is that possible? Yeah, okay, because I feel like I see you just starting a whole new chapter, and believe it or not, as hard as it's going to be, like any change, like the butterfly getting, as corny as it sounds, the butterfly getting out of the cocoon, someone told me in a class that I took at, or I was just sitting in her class, I didn't really know this about butterflies try to break out of the cocoon. They're doing it so their wings can get strong during the breaking out, and so that they can be strong enough to fly. So I kind of feel like that's a really good analogy of what you're going to go through is what I'm getting. It's going to hurt. It's going to feel uncomfortable. But when you, I feel like I see you kind of getting a very simple place. You're going to be like, it's not fancy. It's not all that, but it's all mine. And when I wake up for the first time, I ask myself, what do I want to do? I don't think you've ever had that.
Well, yeah, no. I'm always
that,
planning
you know what I mean?
For, yeah.
Yeah, that has to be done.
Right.
This is time for you to find your power again. And my sense is it's going to happen within this year. meaning I could see it happening before the new year. Because I just feel like it's going to happen a lot quicker than you think. You're going to be fine.
Okay.
You're not going to be just fine. You're going to be amazing. Once you get past the pains of it, you're going to be a different person. So don't worry about that. Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay.
Well, thank you. I needed to hear that. Because, you know, that's
good.
I always wonder, you know, am I going to make it? Because, you know, we're talking 29 years. So
oh, yeah, of course. That's just like in roots. That in you. Yeah, those are roots. And so just look at yourself as cutting roots slowly but surely. And that's what basically cutting ties are. Just slowly cutting these cords away from you, untangling yourself from this. And then that takes a minute. But you can even start that now, and you're already starting it. Just be conscious about it, and it will go quicker. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot.
Well, thank you so much. That was wonderful. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
Oh, thank you
thank
for
you.
Calling in. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And wow, we can all learn from that kind of a situation. I'm sure everybody, once they've lived life enough, they've been through relationships where it's really, really, really hard to let go. It's mostly probably lack of self-esteem and self-love and everything else, and it blinds you to let other spirits, let other souls kind
of when you're
eat away
in a,
at you.
Yeah, when you're in a relationship period, you grow attached and grow kind of connected to the person. And when you get into a bad situation, or you get into a situation that the person isn't treating you properly, it becomes like so confusing because you've been with the person so long, it's so comfortable, it's so familiar.
Sure.
Oh, so this should be okay because, well, at least they know me so well, and at least they and you kind of completely lost sight of how you get together with someone in the first place, which is, do you like them anymore? Do you like them? And so if you don't like them anymore, that is no, you don't need to be with them. So it's like we get so caught up in, well, the house and the this and the that and the this. It's like then you're in a business relationship. And since we believe in kind of relationships being about love rather than business, we don't live in a time where anymore where people marry each other just solely based on business, then, yeah. And it's also just for all the women out there, it is kind of a time where the earth is turning back into the women power. And we used to have women ruling and goddess and, you know, women matriarchs and all that, women queens, and we're in power, and we kind of got oppressed for a while. Well, that energy is shifting back. So I'm seeing a lot of women in her position that are, like, in a long-term relationship, been doing it, and suddenly just kind of finding their voice and kind of rising back up. And so it is a time where women are starting to realize not power because we're, like, trying to be like men, but power because we're nurturers and we're
to be empowered.
Empowered.
Right.
And because we're these amazing, beautiful beings, not because we're trying to emulate what we think power is.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's coming back.
Yeah. And it's always
that. Women power, girl power.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
But in a positive way, not to put men down, but to rise men up so that you're finding partners that you fly with.
And they support each
and
other.
They support each other.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the key.
But
finding
you
got to
get your power back yourself before you can get find that. Yeah.
Right, to have a healthy relationship.
Right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So all the best to you. All the best to you, sweetheart. So
let's, before we take a call, let me just do the second part of what we talked about.
About transitioning,
So the transition, so we talked about how going cross, detaching, we had an example of that in one of the readings. So just real quick, once the person detaches from the body, how they transition. Sometimes people have relatives that come to greet them. Sometimes people have angels and beings. But it is the thing that people read about or heard about, the white light that kind of shines in. The white light, what people see, is the light of love. God is love. So it's pure love. It's the protective light. It's the light where we all come from. It's where we come from and born from, and we go back to its home. So home is waiting for you, and it feels warm, and it feels inviting. And even though it feels all these wonderful things, you're still a little scared because it's you've forgotten it, and you've gotten so familiar where you are. As we were talking, familiarity, comfort, it's hard to leave.
We still have those emotions.
No matter what stages, yeah.
Yes.
So even though you're so drawn to it, people who have near-death experiences will explain how they can be drawn to it and they don't want to leave, but they do remember, wait a minute, I have these people at home waiting for me and love me, and maybe I need to go back to them. So if you truly are, it's your time and you're passing, and near-death experiences are really not those people's time because they've decided free will, it's not time for me. Maybe they've been given an opportunity to peek into, cross the veil because they're going to come back here and help people or whatnot. But when you cross through the veil, first, right before the veil, it literally looks like sometimes people see it as a dark veil, some, you know, kind of like a kind of a black kind of hole, almost like a wormhole or
is
something.
Is this after that tunnel of light that people see?
Right before it.
Right
so
before
right
it.
Before you go through the veil, this is what it looks like. It almost looks like a wormhole. And I teach a class, and for those who are in the area, because I've had some emails lately, people hearing the show want to know if they can take my class. I'm working on a CD that can. I just got to find the right music person to kind of help you guys do this at home. But for those in the area, I teach a class on. I take you through the veil, and that's what the CD used to do, is help people go through this veil, and that's what I'm trying to bring that back. But right before you cross the veil, it kind of looks like a wormhole, where some people see it as a waterfall. Some people see it as a cliff they jump off, but it's all the same. It's going through the veil.
Mm.
So right before you go through the veil, it kind of looks like that, and then you get pushed through, and if you pass, then usually you're going to probably get catapult through a little bit quicker. And right through when you pass through, right before the veil, you'll see all these spirits, a lot of them kind of hanging out there. Either they're waiting there because they're not sure if they want to go through. That's what we were talking about, some of those kind of people who may be undeciding or something, and they need to help cross through the veil because they're not quite sure if they want to go through it. I don't know if I want to go through that wormhole or not.
Is that where your relatives meet you?
Sometimes, no, the relatives don't meet you there. They meet you through the veil.
Okay.
So that's why I usually have a being that kind of helps guide you. That's why people sometimes see angels, and that's the long, dark hallway people talk about when they say there was this long hallway and the lights waiting at the end of the tunnel.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Uh-huh.
It's the veil. So you go through the long tunnel, or some people see it as like a wormhole, some people see it as a waterfall, and then the light is waiting. And as you go there, that's why people are like, come on down, come into the light.
Uh-huh.
Come on down through the light, because you don't want to just get stuck at the front of the veil. Sometimes people say, no, I don't know. I don't know if I want to go all the way yet. You know, I want to see, I'm still kind of upset that I passed. For the most time, people go through the veil, unless it's like, and if they go right through the veil, sometimes they hang out right where the veil, it's like a borderline between our world and their world. So they can kind of like hang out between the worlds in a more kind of lower vibration. But once you go through the veil and you go to the light, which is what most people do, and you see your relatives and you see everybody, then they say, well, how am I going to see my family? Like, no worries, because you can feel them and hear them kind of through a telepathic way that you never experienced before.
Oh.
Kind of like you could just peek over, kind of like almost looking through a magic mirror, or looking like in Harry Potter through the magic water, like you're looking down and going, oh, this is what's going on in the water.
Right.
It's kind of that idea. So, they're not, so it's like, don't worry, you'll be able to see and feel what's going on and still be here in the light area. So in that area, people kind of appear, that's where all the people are waiting, and you meet the people, and they appear in the way you remembered them, in a physical body form.
Oh.
And that's kind of, they're not going to be touching like a physical body, but they'll have that imagery. And then there's different level planes, and as you keep rising, you go to different planes. But usually people hang out in this plane, and they can use their imagination to create a world. they can, you know, explore and kind of learn and grow and all that sort of thing.
Oh, I see.
So it's very kind of, I would say each person's experience is probably a little different depending on their situation and depending on the person. Some people are like, you know what, I know all about this, so I'm going to shoot right up, straight through, and I think I'm just going to skip a couple of planes maybe and just go right up.
And when we cross over and we are spirit and we still are growing, are we growing by looking down and watching situations that we've left and how they evolve, how we've affected them? Or?
Well, okay, so the thing that I think is the hardest for people to understand is that when we're in this plane, we're used to, like, I'm going to drive over and to my friend's house and I'm going to see them. And we understand everything in a very physical base, which is why when I do readings and I can see people who I've never met, people don't understand that. They're like, well, you never met me. How do you know? How can you read me on the phone and you've never seen me? I don't know you. But I know the person's spirit. So, like, take that times 10. So they don't need to go and watch you to learn. They can... first thing that they do is there's no time there. So they can kind of look at their life from beginning all the way up till they pass and kind of get a quick view. Kind of like what people say, the life flashes before the eyes before they pass.
Right.
When they pass and they cross through the veil, they can see their life kind of go and see, oh, wow, look at that, look at that. Oh, my gosh, I had no idea. And then they feel you and they hear things they never heard, like, oh, this is what they were thinking, that's what they were feeling, I had no idea. So their perception is very wide now because they're not in their body and they're not just me, me, me.
And
their
perception
able
grows that
really quick. So it's very similar. When I read people, I jump in their skin and I feel what it's like to be them. And then if I'm talking about someone they care about, I jump in their skin. So when people pass, they're able to jump in your skin and go, oh, my God, I had no idea she felt that way when I was talking to her like that. Oh, I had no idea I affected that person like that. Oh, my gosh, domino effect affected them, and that affected that, and that affected that. Oh, my gosh, I couldn't ever saw that before. Wait, I feel so really kind of bad about that. Wait a minute, I feel really good because I had that great effect. They kind of go, oh, I want to get this message that I understand now that I didn't understand, because we're blocked with the material world. We got to go to work. We got to take care of this. We got to take care of bills. We want love. We want this, we want that, we want that. We got to get our car fixed. So we're just like distracted, 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 kind of like looking with their heads down. Mm-hmm. When you pass, you kind of get this 3D vision. Whoa, things are way more connected. Things are way more intense than I thought. I'm not distracted. I don't have to wake up tomorrow and go to work. I don't have to wake up and take care of this. I can just feel and see and da-da. So
and you're
it all,
growing in that way.
Yeah, it grows. So it's really much faster.
And you're able to do things to intervene and help as far as putting thoughts in people's heads that, or...
Yeah, because it's energy. It's telepathic thinking.
Telepathic.
So it's energy. So if they have a thought and they want to transmit it kind of like transmitting, like we have cell phones, the message, or like we do texting.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of people feel like technology is kind of the leading into higher conscious thinking. So in other words, like we're texting and we understand that instant communication.
Yeah.
Even though we all hate technology, or at least some of us do. I know I do.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate in a certain sense that we're having this instant communication.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, take it like that. Well, if they want to put a thought, they just like transbeam it. So we get it on cell phones. We do it. We're like, oh, well, we just pick our cell phone up and call someone. We don't even get how it's happening. But the person's instantly hearing our voice.
And that's a way of them as well being having the ability to help those that they care about by sending thoughts or making them music happen, or
no, they don't make music happen.
Oh, that's right. You said that they put the thoughts.
They put the, like, if they want you to hear a song, there's no time where they are. So, yes, they want to help you, but they have things they need to do for themselves too. So they're not spending all their time just helping you. So a lot of what they're doing to grow. If they're talking to you about things that they've done for you, it's not just for you, it's for them to grow too.
Right.
So So, yes, they want to help you with certain things, but when they help you with certain things, they grow and they change as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they can do more than one thing at a time. We don't understand that because we're very linear here.
Yeah.
So they can be like sending a message to you while they're having conversations with other people, while they're learning about the universe they're in, while they can be doing that all at once. They exist in more than one plane because they are not bound by physical means.
Yes. Okay.
They're electrical currents.
Yeah.
And then they learn to master those electrical currents, and the more they learn to master it, the more they can do things.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, as far as being able to, you know, when you're here, you have a child.
Right.
You can't imagine life without them.
Right.
You can't imagine they not wanting to be there all for them. And then
right.
when you cross, you have a different mindset. Even though you love them, you let go a little bit. Is that it, to move on in your journey, or?
I wouldn't say to let go. I think that's the hard concept that we have here, is that we look at everything as solid, like it's either or. Oh, you let go and you move on, because that's how we think here. But you can be very attached to your child here and have your energy there with your child while you're doing other things.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
You can be writing an email while you're making a phone call. You can be texting while you're, like, putting your bills. We're learning how to do that.
Right.
Is it, some people think it's bad, you know, like we're being too split. You know, technology is maybe splitting us or something. But some people have a theory that it's actually going to maybe start putting us more into higher thinking. So...
sure. Like if we, for example, that online dating stuff, they just communicate through typing to each other,
right.
let's say. They're getting to know each other, not by what they look like, not
right.
by what they drive, but spiritually who that person is, how they respond. And it's kind of a little bit like that when we don't have bodies, right?
Yeah, because I feel like online dating is probably getting more perfected. Like I know somebody...
That's a bad example.
Yeah.
I hate that.
No, I know, but I know somebody who's trying to get involved in some kind of new online dating thing where it's going to be about spiritual connection first, not
yes.
just status. But I would say, okay, so a better example, I guess, would be, so if you are a mother and you have a child, you can be at work thinking about your child, sending energy even to your child, and feeling love and all that stuff for your child while you're at work.
Yes.
Okay. We do it all the time here, there. They do it the same way, except for that they can transmit that energy so strong to you that you can't help but feel it. So if they're going, I'm thinking about you and I'm feeling you and I'm there for you, I can send my energy and put it all around you. So, for instance, one of the things that I do sometimes for friends if they're down is I kind of raise my vibration, and push energy to them. And they'll say, well, it's really weird. I just felt that go through me. So if we can learn to transmit energy here, some people call it chi, and there's all kind of Reiki and all kinds of stuff, they can do it 10 times. So they can be going, I'm sending energy to my daughter, let her know I'm here. But I'm sitting here having a conversation with my neighbor. So it's not
right.
like here we're very stuck on how do you go from A to B, because we are like 1D. They're like 3D. We actually don't live in a very 3D world. We live in a very flat world. Because everything's like, I have to drive over and say hi. Otherwise, she doesn't know I exist. I have to call if they don't know that I'm thinking about
There's
them.
There's a lot more that can be done when you're...
Right.
There, yeah.
And we can do it here, too. We just tend to think we're not doing it, but we actually do it quite a bit. People think about somebody, and the person calls them, or someone says, I'm going to send my love. I want them to feel that I'm there for them. And the person's like, yeah, I felt like I thought about you, or... like I said, you're a mom. You could be loving your child and feeling love for your child while you're, you know, busy at work. Or you can be at home loving your child and feeling love for your child, thinking about how you have to call work. And, you know, I mean, it's like we can definitely do a lot more in the same moment in time than we think we can.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they send the energy to you, and they feel your energy when you're upset. So just like if you're in the presence, for us sometimes people have to be in the presence of each other to feel it. But if you feel someone's upset sometimes, you can feel it, you know, really strong. And they say, like I think we've talked about before, that communication is, I think, 80% body language and facial language and all that stuff than it is actual words.
In normal everyday.
Yeah, that we communicate that way more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that reminds me about your classes that you teach people to be more intuitive.
Yeah,
tune in.
Yeah,
if you want to,
yeah,
know
I
about
teach
that.
Intuitive classes. They're called clairvoyance classes, but ignore that term because it's pretty much broader than that. I believe in teaching people how to use your sight, and when I use sight, that word means to me hearing, seeing, feeling, touching, smelling, tasting. It's all the senses that you can use for sight. Some people actually only get smells, and they get messages that way. And so clairvoyance and clairaudience and all that stuff, people get really caught up in titles. I don't really get caught up in titles. I get caught up in opening you up to play with your sight. So what I do is I take you on a journey. This is the 101 class. Push you through the veil, help you get to your guides and your teachers, bring you back, and then you practice reading on each other. The 102 class covers that, and it gets more intense. And you get little intense, meaning you just get, you're reading a lot more. I'm giving you a lot more tools, teaching a lot more things. And then now I've added the 103 class, and we're getting really into what I'm talking about, sending energy to each other, reading people's energy, knowing if the person is not just reading them and only reading them about are you going to get the job or not, but reading the energy the person's operating from, reading, teaching them how to send energy to each other to see if they're actually picking up on exactly what you sent. So getting more higher. So those classes kind of circulate. So the 101 class starts again in August 22nd, and I go back to the 102 and then the 103. I'm also doing gallery reads. That's where I do medium readings in a group about, the maximum is 25 because I read every single person. So if you pay, you get a reading. Because I don't believe in doing large gallery reads where you just sit and watch me read a couple of people and then you go home. I want everyone to get a reading. So I do those once a month. But yes, if you want to take classes and you want to hone your abilities in a group of people who are like-minded, who are not going to make you feel weird, who are not going to reject you, we're all a bunch of misfits. They're trying to open up our sight, you know, misfits meaning that in the world sometimes people feel weird about talking to people about things they see or feel. In this group, you can just be yourself, and we help each other learn and grow.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. wonderful. That's wonderful. I still say I'm going to make it to those classes.
Yeah, that's right.
I would love
to do a one-on-one.
Are you
class.
Sure there's no siphon that we could just take from your head and put it on?
Well, I'm trying to. I did do a CD, and it was actually doing that, so I just need to.
Oh.
I actually just need to get the right music for it, and that was probably my biggest hang-up, because the actual recording it, my part is really quick and easy for me, but it's the music. You can find the classes on thegreenmanstore.com. Thegreenmanstore.com has the list on their calendar of when the classes are coming up. Or you can email me on adelalevine.com. And I'm also on Facebook, Adela Levine, and I'm also on Twitter, Adela Medium.
Okay, great. Do we have time for
another reading? Yes.
Okay, great.
Sorry.
So, no problem. Oh, this is all wonderful
trying
stuff
to cover
and meant to
everything.
Be. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Okay, well, let's go on to our caller list. We've got the 510 area code bringing you on just a moment.
San Francisco.
Yes, it is. Hi, my name is Denise, and I would so very much like for you to connect with my mother and see if she has any messages for me.
Okay, sure. I think you've heard me say, I'm just going to see who's here and do confirmations to make sure it is her. So let me see who's here. Okay. Sure, usually moms get first rating in the spirit world. Nobody tends to mess with moms, so I'm sure she'll get through. Let's see. Okay, so I do see a woman coming in. She's kind of actually very emotional. She's like holding your face and she's kissing you. She feels very emotional to me, looks very emotional. So I'm trying to. She's saying, let's see. So I'm trying to get her. Do you talk to her a lot or something?
All the time.
Okay, because I feel like what I'm hearing her say to me is that she's just so excited because she's been feeling you so much and she hears you so much and she wants to respond, you know, to you. When she shows me of her passing, she tells me that the feeling she gets me is someone who is very full of life and that she wouldn't have passed without a fight is what she's saying. So I guess she wants you to know that she very much wanted to stick around. Like she very much it was very difficult for her to let go of this world. Like she just feels very full of life to me. And when she
yes.
talks about her passing, she says it's something that kind of came on, and she feels like it kind of came on like gangbusters. So she doesn't show me passing like she's here and she's gone. She's like, I'm very much aware, but she felt like it sped up too fast. She's kind of making me feel like someone who gets caught in kind of like a tornado almost, like someone who feels like she gets swept away. And she's saying that, why is she giving me this is an interesting image. She's very visual. She's giving me an image almost like of someone who's melting. She talks about her body. She says she feels like she just kind of withered like a flower.
Yeah, she just deteriorated.
She was what?
She was deteriorating. Her whole body
Yeah, it's like that's exactly how she showed it to me. She's very good with these visuals. She showed it to me like somebody who withers away, like a flower that withers down. And she says that it's just kind of like she just didn't have a chance, and she wants you to know, you know this, but I guess she feels the need to say it. That, you know, she would have done anything she could to try to stick around. Was she a big fan of books or something, or is it you a book person?
No, she read a lot of medical books.
Okay, because you just flashed all these books. She feels very smart and very capable. Like you want her on your side if something needs to be done. She's your girl
to get it done.
Like, very smart. Was she, like, into people's rights or something? Because she says, if you want someone to stick up for you, she'd be the one. Like, she's just very, that's that full of life. But there's also something about her that she's saying she just believed in humanity, I guess, in a way. Like, people
well,
have
she
the
was
right
a caregiver.
To
She was very much a caregiver to neighbors mm-hmm. and to family and that type of person.
She just feels like the person you know that if you call her up, boom, she's going to be there. Good hearted person. She also says she's not surprised she can talk to you. So it's like she did believe in something. I don't feel like I had a complete answer about it all, but she did feel like she'd reach out to you. Did you guys talk about this, or was it?
She knew that when I was a child, I used to see things, and all my life I was very spiritual, and as a child I knew that more to life. So I taught her a lot based on my experience.
Yeah, because it's like she's saying, like she knows that I was going to be able to talk to her. And she's saying that, she's also saying that she's been practicing exactly how she wanted to come through, and a lot of it was very visual. She's also talking about that she gets very emotional about you because there's just so much love she has for you. I feel like you guys were, she was your mother, but she just feels very more like almost like a best friend or something. Like somebody just understood you very well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's very special.
A picture in my kitchen that she gave me of myself and her, and it says best friends on there.
Oh, okay. Oh, that makes me, that's really awesome. Yeah, because she's saying like, she says, you know, I just felt so lucky to have this girl. She's unique. And she's like, I just try to tell her that every day in your ear. Like, she wants to remind you how amazing she thinks you are. And she said, you made her life so full. And she just, that's why she got so excited. Because I mostly got so excited to let her know. Like, I know I told her this, but I could tell her it again. Like, she's like, I want to be that voice in her head to remind her how amazing she is, no matter how hard the world gets, no matter how cruel people can be or disappointing people could be. She wants to remind you how special and amazing you are, because she feels sometimes you're a little hard on yourself or you don't give yourself enough credit, and she's like your biggest fan. She really is.
Yeah.
She's definitely much more than just, it's like she loved being a mother, and she loved being your mother, and she's just truly like a mom. You know, and I know that sounds weird, but I read a lot of people, and you just don't always see moms that are like moms, if that makes sense. Like, she just enjoyed it. Awesome. I mean, it's just, she just keeps, she's got a strong energy, so she keeps pushing on this, and she's like, you have to tell her, and you have to tell her this, and you have to. And she wants you to know she hears you, like, crystal clear, and she feels you and that you're doing all the things. She knows that you've talked to her in dreams or something?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. 'Cause she's saying that her goal is to kind of just make the communication, like, she's like, I don't want to distract her from things, but she wants you to feel like you have access to her just on a constant basis, so that you always know that.
You know, I've been going through some difficult times the last 3 years, and I'd like to know if she feels that there is light, that my life is going to change and there's some light at the end of the tunnel for me.
Yeah, I think that's why she kept saying something about knowing how special you are, because she kept saying she doesn't remember. She's saying that as far as the difficult times, she says that the hardest hits that you've had, you've kind of traveled through the storm. And she's talking about it. She's saying that it's kind of like you've gone through difficult times from different areas. She's not just one area. She says that it looks like it's coming to a halt, and that things are going to start to rise again. Were you having problems with work or something?
That's true, yes. I left a job 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
and
she's
I,
saying... Go ahead.
And I've been unable to really find something rewarding.
Okay. Because what she's saying is that that it was kind of like, she goes, not that I'm trying to be preachy, but it was kind of like you needed to learn to have some faith and just trust and do something and leave the job knowing that it was right for you. And she says, so it's just, this has just been kind of, she says, just kind of imagine this has been kind of your faith walk, and that now the end is near. And she says the kind of job that you're looking for is going to come in a very small package. So in other words, she's kind of showing me you getting a job kind of almost in a smaller company or a nonprofit or something that you might almost turn down because you think it may not lead to as much as you want, but she says to just trust it because it is going to grow. So she says it's going to be unassuming. And it looks like she's pointing to this, when I see time, it's like I skip when it starts and then I see when it's already happened. So it looks like in the next few months, she says it's very, very soon. She goes, by the holidays, things will start to change. She says, but this has been your faith walk because you know that you need to do your calling.
I understand. How am I going to connect with that position? It feels like I've looked high and low.
She says it's just it's going to be one of those random things that will probably, she's showing me that it's going to come through a friend. It's going to come through someone you know, but it's not, she's calling it more an acquaintance. Have you, she says to keep putting the word out to the people you know that you're still looking, and that to not be shy about that, because she's showing it coming from someone who knows someone who knows someone. It's kind of like a removed type of thing. It's not going to be like through an ad or anything like that. She's actually in your circle, but it's just not directly around in your circle. So she says you need, have you told people around you?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay. Because she says to just keep reminding people that you are still looking, you're still out there. She says it's also like not to be shy about if you meet someone you find interesting, but I don't really see it that way. I feel like she's talking, when I see it, it's kind of like three removed, almost like someone you know someone, and they kind of first don't know if it's something you'd be interested. But she says to just let go of the fear, because this is about testing your faith.
Okay.
Denise, thank you.
I'm so glad you said that. Yes, I'm thrilled you said that.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Denise. Thank you so much for checking in. And, you know, that's a beautiful example of how people are from the other side able to help and give messages
yes,
like this.
Yes, absolutely. The whole point, so like in these readings, I know on the radio they're very quick and they're very fast, but normally, and this, you know, try to give the whole gamut of the examples of them coming in, giving the confirmation, showing who they are, and then the last, their goal, they get, to be honest, I'm bombarding them with questions telepathically. So this is to answer your question. How do they hear people? Well, that's how I'm talking to them. I'm telling them telepathically. While I'm talking to the person, people just don't. I just am not one of those readers that go, what did you say? Oh, they say, okay. I don't like to do that.
You're doing things.
Kind of showy to me. So what I do is I talk telepathically. And as I'm talking to you, like right now, if I was talking to someone, I'm bombarding her mom with questions. Well, what about this? What about that? How did you pass?
Oh,
what do you want to tell her? So I'm bombarding them with questions, and they kind of go, okay, tell them this. So they guide it because they decide which ones they think are going to help. And then sometimes they're like, I don't care about that question. Show them this. And I go, okay. So I force them to do confirmations. If it's up to them, they just want to jump to talking because they love just talking and they want to get right to talking and right to helping. But I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, back up. You need to, like, give me confirmation so I make sure I know who I'm talking to. And so they go, okay. And so sometimes they have fun with it and sometimes they're like, all right, that's enough, let's just go. So sometimes when I've read for somebody who I've talked to the same person a few times, they're like, let's just go. I want to jump right to talking, and then they'll give a confirmation. Kind of like, okay, yeah, by the way, this. Okay, anyway, more talking. Because they're definitely interested in helping you, and they're also interested in helping themselves. Like her mom said, she really wants to let her know for her, but she also was hoping, okay, I hope I told my daughter enough how amazing she is for me too. So, yeah, definitely that's an example.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you want to get a full reading, just remember, contact me on AdelaLevine.com, You can also just go ahead and book a reading at thegreenmenstore.com. Just call them, and I'm there pretty much every day that they're open. And thanks for listening.
Oh, thank you for sharing so much, Adela, and giving your time. And I know it's a different kind of a venue because you've got all these souls waiting to talk to people here in the physical world, and it's not the one-on-one where you're focused just on the reading that's going on there. You did a beautiful job, and we came, and our listeners did beautiful as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Suzy. You're amazing.
Thank you, and to our audience as well. God bless you. Thank you so much for sharing, and we've all got something wonderful out of these readings. Take good care until next time.